probably mention it this next Sunday, but I do appreciate our Harvest Kids doing an excellent job on the spaghetti dinner fundraiser. Amen. Wasn't it wonderful? I enjoyed it. I had three or four of our Harvest Kids come and wait on me, and they were all trying to give me desserts. I don't know. Every single one of them wanted to know if I wanted some desserts. I think they were extra, so they must have told them, hey, y'all need to sell these so we can make extra money. But anyway, we appreciate everyone that came early and did support them. And for all of the workers, they're all probably still working to clean things up. But we had a great time. One complaint is now I'm full. And y'all all get to sit there, and I hope you don't go to sleep, but I got to preach somehow. So one complaint tonight. I do want to mention the world is changing, and technology, well, I often say technology can be a gift or it can be a curse. It can be a blessing or a curse. And many have mentioned that if you're sick or if you're out of town, that you're able to watch the broadcast on Facebook Live, and I'm thankful for that. I am thankful for that. And we are getting many people, not even attendees of Harvest, people from Springfield surrounding our people that share from our church, and then other people watch the broadcast, and so we're thankful for that outreach. And I wonder if all of you that are on Facebook could help us out, and if you would go and rate the church. If you would go and rate the church, if you don't know how to do that, ask, I don't know, some of these young people that know how to do it. But now don't go if you're going to give us less than 5 stars now, okay? But anyway, I don't know. Go and rate the church and tell something good about it, okay? No negatives now, okay? We'll deal with the negatives in-house. But tell something great about the church, because that does show up when people search for Harvest Ministries. Give us 5 stars and tell us what's good about the church, okay? If you got any complaints, come talk to me. We'll handle that, but we don't want to put our business out on Facebook. But everybody said amen. Praise the Lord. It's great to see everybody in the house of the Lord tonight. Tonight we're going to begin a series of lessons and sermons that I believe will help us to focus on some powerful things in the Word of God. And these are principles which are necessary for us if we want to become mature Christians. This new series is entitled Great Paradoxes of the Bible. Great Paradoxes of the Bible. There's some great revealing paradoxes within God's Word which are valuable lessons to us. A paradox is a statement that attracts attention because at first glance, it seems contradictory. It seems to be a contradiction at first glance. Our natural response to a paradox is curiosity because at first we're a little puzzled. But as we meditate on that statement, we can go deeper into some important aspects about life and learn something new. So paradoxes can be marvelous instructors. Hillel, a famous first century rabbi, he wrote, "My lowliness is my loftiness. My loftiness is my lowliness." A paradox. Sounds kind of like what Jesus said in Luke 14 and 11. "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Whoever exalts themselves will be humbled, and whoever humbles themselves will be exalted. Jesus often used paradoxes to point out the difference between the world and the kingdom of God. Things that make sense in the natural, things that make sense in the physical world, they don't always make sense in the spiritual world, and vice versa. We read in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Isn't that the truth? Sometimes we really wish that we knew what God was thinking, what God was doing. We wish we knew what God had planned for us, because His thoughts, His way of thinking is different than the way of thinking of this world. Part of the process of becoming a mature Christian is learning these principles so that we can have the mind of Christ. We've got to have the mind of Christ. I don't want to have the mind of this world. I don't want to have a mind that's led by my flesh, but Lord, I want to be led of the Spirit. Help me to have the mind, Your mind. Part of the process is based on 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." Isn't that the truth? The natural man, this world, does not want the things of God because it's foolishness to them. It just doesn't make sense all the time to the natural mind. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. There are some things that we're just not going to get unless we have the Holy Ghost, amen? Unless we have the Holy Spirit working through us and teaching us and helping us, we're just not going to understand it. They're spiritually discerned. Verse 15, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." That's what we need. We need the mind of Christ. Today, we don't need the words that man's wisdom teaches this world, but we need that which the Holy Spirit can teach us. We need God to put His mind in us. We need God to give us His heart and His understanding and His help. Amen. How many of you want to have the mind of Christ? How many of you want God to speak to you and to speak through you so we don't think as just an ordinary man or woman, but we think as God would want us to think? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, Paul wrote a string of paradoxes. "As unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things." Just think about this with me. When the people in the church in Corinth got this letter sent to them from the Apostle Paul, and when they read it to all the church that was there, when they heard this, I imagine it got their attention. I imagine they were pretty curious about what is Paul saying here. They probably wondered, how can we live and how can we die at the same time? How does that work? How can we have sorrow yet always rejoice? If I'm poor, how can I make others rich? If I have nothing, how can I possess everything? Paradoxes attract our attention. They challenge our faith. They provoke us into thinking deeper. They prompt us to ask better questions. Paradoxes lead us into truths that if we'll act upon, it'll help us grow out of spiritual childhood into the blessings of being a mature Christian. Help us, Lord. Help us tonight. So for the next several weeks, we're going to look at some of these paradoxes in Scripture and that they reveal to us the mind of Christ, a different way of thinking from the world, a higher way of thinking, a godly way of thinking. For Christians today, what seems like a contradiction in a Bible paradox is actually a challenge to grow, a challenge to learn. What a wonderful opportunity. Amen. Gilbert Keith Chesterton was an English writer who lived from 1874 to 1936. Time magazine said about his writing style, "Whenever possible, Chesterton made his points with popular sayings, proverbs, and allegories. First, carefully turning them inside out. Chesterton once defined a paradox as truth standing on its head to gain attention. A paradox is truth standing on its head to gain attention. Let us look tonight at the first of these great paradoxes of the Bible, truth standing on its head to gain attention. Paul wrote in Acts chapter 20, verse 33, he said, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. He said, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And hence, this is the first paradox we're going to look at. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Praise the Lord. Blessing, bless, blessed. Those are important words in our vocabulary, especially a Christian's vocabulary. Now, they're not only important when we worship and when we pray, but also when we give. But let me ask us here tonight, what is a blessing? What is a blessing? Do you remember how Paul initially thought that thorn in his flesh was a painful burden that he wanted the Lord to deliver him from? But it turned out to be a blessing that Paul needed. Joseph was sure that his time in prison, that time in prison in Egypt, surely this is a mistake. Lord, have you forgotten about me? Do you know where I am? But later he discovered it fit right in the plan with God's will, and later he became the second ruler in the land. The Apostle Peter, he was so opposed to the Lord going to the cross, and he drew that sword to defend him, saying he was willing to go even to the death. But Peter discovered that the cross was one of the greatest blessings that God ever gave us. Anything that the Lord does or allows in our life that edifies us or helps us to glorify Him, that's a blessing from above. That's a blessing from above. There's some blessings that come disguised a little bit differently. And we see these things and we say, Lord, why'd you allow that pain? And why'd you allow that suffering? And why do I have these questions? And why am I going through this, Lord? I would rather have some blessings. And I think sometimes God is saying, well, you just don't know. This is a blessing. It may be disguised according to man's wisdom, but if you could only see in the Spirit, if you could only see what God is trying to do, if we could only see the end from the beginning like the Lord does, He would say, this is a blessing for you. And when you come out on the other side, you're going to thank me for this. Hallelujah. As we walk with the Lord, we experience various types of blessings from God. But we're not to be reservoirs. Reservoirs take in, but never let out. They hold it. It's not what God has designed us to be. He's designed that we would be channels rather than reservoirs. Channels of blessing in order to bring the blessings of God to others. Each one of us today, we've had many blessings from God from the day we were born even. We may not always consider or remember them, but think with me about some of the great gifts that God has given us. Every day, we awake to a new day. It doesn't matter how good yesterday went or how bad it went. You get a new day today. We're blessed with the gift of sunlight. Oh, that gift of light. That gift of light first spoken by God in creation. And I'm thankful for light to see. Light that helps plants grow. And light that helps people live and work. And thank God for light. How many of you like pitch black darkness? Have you been in a cave tour and they flip out the lights? That was a nightmare when I was a little kid. why did people scare us like that? You know, now you got your cell phone. I keep my hand on. I'm like, okay, if they don't turn that back on, I'm turning the flashlight on. Thank God for light. Thank God for air to breathe. Take a deep breath of that air that God gave us. Isn't that awesome? We have food to eat. We have water to drink. We have water to make things clean. And many, many more gifts that help us to live and to work and to get things done. Sometimes we take all these blessings for granted. We go through a day and don't even think about them. But we are blessed today. Sometimes we start to think, well, my life isn't really all that blessed. I've just been dealt a bad hand in life. And then, I tell you, if we would just step back to consider the blessings of the Lord. I want to tell you, God's been good to us. God's been good to us. Instead of complaining tonight, we ought to be thanking the Lord. We ought to be praising Him and thanking Him for His great gifts. God's been good to you. God's been good to me. I want to tell you, I don't deserve the blessings of the Lord, but He's been so good and He's been so faithful. Psalm 31 and 19, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:17. He said, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. We are all rich. We are all rich. No matter the amount of your bank balance, whether it's a little or not, whether it's a little or a lot, rather. We're all very rich. We're all very rich. James 1 and 17 reads, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What God gives is good and it is perfect. I want to tell you, we serve a constant God. There is no change in His character. Acts 17:24 tells us, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, men's hands, neither is worship with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He give it to all life and breath and all things. We've got to reject this notion that comes from this world that says, well, I'm a self-made person. I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. I exist by my own strength and my own power and my own wisdom. I want to tell you, we exist and we are blessed because of the great gifts that God pours out upon our life. Amen. The reason why we woke up this morning is because God had grace and mercy to give us another day. Thank the Lord. We don't exist by any strength and power of our own. We exist because God allowed us to live. I'm thankful for the blessings and the gifts of God today. It's a blessing to receive, especially the gifts of God. Of course, there's no greater gift than Jesus Christ giving Himself on the cross that you and I might be saved. Thank the Lord for that gift. John 15:13 tells us, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He did that for you. He did that for me. While we were yet sinners, He died for us to set us free. We are so blessed by the gifts of God. I wonder right now, I know it's a Wednesday night, but I wonder, would you join me in just thanking God for His blessings? Come on, would you join me in thanking God for His gifts? Lord, I thank You for Your blessings. I thank You for Your power. Lord, I thank You for Your anointing. I thank You for Your mercy. I thank You for Your love. I thank You, God, for the breath that You've given us to breathe. I thank You, Lord, for this heart that beats within my chest. I thank You, Lord, for health. I thank You, Lord, for life. I thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. I thank You for Your kindness. I thank You for Your forgiveness, Lord. Thank You, God, for Your blood that was shed for us. Lord, we praise Your name. Lord, we are so blessed. Lord, we are so blessed. Don't ever let us forget how blessed we are. Don't ever let us forget Your goodness, Lord. Don't ever let us overlook Your gifts. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is so good to us. He is so good to us. Come on, that feels good. Let's just magnify the Lord a little longer. Blessed be Your name, Jesus. Blessed be Your name, O Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, I thank You.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a blessing it is to know that God loves us and that God cares for us. What a blessing it is to feel His presence, to feel Him moving in this place, in this house, to know that He is alive. What a blessing it is to have His Spirit in our heart. I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful for baptism in His name. I'm thankful for the oneness of God. I'm thankful for His blessings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There was a lot going on tonight in pre-service prayer. But right at the, when I came in at the start, I knelt down. And I wasn't necessarily praying all that loud. And I don't know that I was shaking heaven and earth. But I want to tell you, all of a sudden, I started feeling the Lord move. And it was a sweet, just still moving of the presence of God. And I just began to, I began to weep, Brother Roger. I began to cry that the Lord knows where I am. The Lord sees us here in this place tonight. And I believe He's got something good for us. I want to tell you, what a blessing to know the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it's a great blessing to receive the gifts that God has made available to us, gifts that make life, an eternal life, an abundant life possible. But there's something even better than receiving those gifts. And as we grow and mature in the Lord, we find out that He's such a blessing to us, but it's a greater blessing to share God's gifts with others. We read it here tonight in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. One day while Jesus was teaching, Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, that must have been kind of startling to those that were listening. In fact, it's kind of interesting to note that what Jesus said that day, it was never recorded by Matthew, by Luke, by Mark, or by John. I don't know if when they heard it, they thought, well, that doesn't make sense. I don't know why it was not recorded, but when someone told Paul, he filed that away and he took it to his heart and he quoted it one day to the church in Ephesus. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It's not surprising that Paul latched on to this statement, because if there was ever a man that knew how to give, it was Paul. He wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, he said, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." There's three ways to get money. Three ways to get money. Stealing it. Earning it. Or receiving it as a gift. Now, surely there's somebody else here besides me that thought, well, where does gambling fall under? Stealing it, earning it, or receiving it as a gift? Sadly, today, the lottery and casinos and other forms of gambling, they are really a tax on mostly poor people who are basically having their money stolen for a non-existent dream of winning. Oh, but somebody wins, yeah. But for those who do win, it's always at the expense of others. You've heard about a zero-sum game. A zero-sum game means it has to add up. So if one person wins, somebody has to lose. Gambling is a zero-sum game. In other words, for somebody to win, somebody's got to lose. Industry and business is not a zero-sum game. When someone works at a trade or when they provide a service, they benefit the company they work for. They benefit personally. They're paid for their work. And the customer benefits as well. So Paul's talking here and he says, we need, you've stolen, steal no more. But rather, let him work.
working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Okay, enough about that. There's three ways to get money: stealing it, earning it, or receiving it as a gift. Paul says you need to work, not just to provide for our needs, but that we may be able to give to the needs of others. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, Jesus said, he said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." That's a paradox right there, because this world is looking for how much we can possess. Jesus went on to give them the parable of the rich man building bigger barns. I'm working this month because, I don't know, some of you know, we moved a couple months ago. And in the course of moving, I had to get a storage unit because we were going to have to move out before we could move in, all that situation. So a lot of stuff went into storage, and I've been trying to get the stuff out of storage because they're charging me every month for that storage unit. Well, the rich man said, "I got to get more storage units. I got to build bigger barns. I've got to hold on to all of this and find room for it." When I was real young, I don't remember much about storage units. But now they're all over the place because we have so much stuff. The rich man desired to be a reservoir, holding it all to himself, instead of being a channel through which the blessings could flow. But he found out it's not about the abundance of things we possess, and his soul was required of him that night. I want to tell you, this is a paradox. It does not make sense to the world. It doesn't make sense to our flesh. It seems to be a contradiction, but oh, how this paradox points to a great truth. So-called Christians who worship money and things, or even worship themselves, they are idolaters. They are involved in idolatry. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." If we worship and if we desire riches, we may become rich, but we may fall into temptation and snares and lust, and we may drown in destruction and perdition. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. We've got to keep our priorities right when it comes to riches. Matthew 13, 22 says, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." What a thought tonight. What a thought that if we don't get this paradox, this principle from the Lord, if we don't learn that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, and if we follow our life after riches, then when we receive the word of God in our life, we can be choked by the cares of this world, by the deceitfulness of riches, and ultimately we become unfruitful. All through the Bible, we find much to say about helping the poor. Jesus pointed out that when we give to the poor, we're actually giving to him. He said, "As ye have done it unto the least of these, ye have done it unto me." One reason why giving results in receiving is that giving makes us more like God. That's the very nature of God. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. Giving makes us more like God, and it opens our hearts to receive even more blessings from him to bless others more. Greed and grace. Greed and grace. They have a hard time dwelling together. Greed and grace, they just can't dwell in the same heart. We've got to let God lead us from greed to grace. Remember Zacchaeus? He was very successful as a tax collector, which also meant he was a very hated man. Now, tax collectors have never been very popular, but in Bible days, they were especially hated. Not only were they cooperating with Rome, with this foreign domination, but they took advantage of the system. You see, local tax collectors, they were recruited by Rome, and then Rome paid these tax collectors a percentage of what they collected. So the more a tax collector could wring out of people, the more they got. Luke tells us that Zacchaeus was a wealthy man, so he must have been a good tax collector. But when Jesus came to Jericho, Zacchaeus was drawn to something. Or something about Jesus. He wanted to see this man. So much so that he was a short man and it was a crowded place, and so he climbed up into a tree so he could see Jesus. There was many in the crowd that day, but Jesus stopped and he looked up into the tree and called him by name and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down because I'm going to your house today." And notice in Luke chapter 19, verse 8, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is coming to seek and to save that which was lost." Zacchaeus made the journey from greed to grace. If there's any here tonight that you've been struggling with greed, if you've been struggling with the message of this paradox tonight, that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, then we can have hope from old Zacchaeus. We can have hope here tonight that we can make that journey from greed to grace. Now, it's not wrong to be wealthy. It's not wrong to be rich. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Joseph of Arimathea, they were all rich men. They were all wealthy. But if you study their lives, they possessed the wealth. The wealth didn't possess them. They possessed the wealth. The wealth did not possess them. If we can get this principle down, then it's possible that we could be a dedicated Christian and that it's possible that the Lord may bless us with wealth. I'm not saying that He will, but I want to tell you, I don't want to be blessed with something that's going to destroy me. Help us, Lord. I don't want to be destroyed by pride or by arrogance or by worry or selfishness. Speaking of gambling, somebody won. How much was that? $456 million, or I don't know what it was. Something like that the other day. That's enough money to have to worry about. You know, some of you think you got money worries. Just imagine if you had that much money, how much you'd have to worry about. And if you study the lives of those that do win big bucks in that lottery, and you look at them 5, 10, 20 years down the road, and you look at their families, many of them have lost everything, and they're back worse off than they were in the very beginning. God, help us. When we give sacrificially, it sets us free of the bondage of wealth and money and riches. We defeat the spirit of greed, and we give God the opportunity to make our lives a channel that His blessings can flow through. I'm moved tonight. I'm thankful for this church. This is a giving church. This is a giving church. Now, some may sit around and say, "Well, I know that one's probably got to give this much and that one." And
That's something that's very confidential. But I move because I do see reports of who gives. I want to tell you, folks, some of the greatest givers in this church, they're giving. I don't know how they give what they give. Jesus looked at the woman. She gave a penny. Said she's given more than all the rest. There's a blessing in giving. And I don't know how God figures it all out, and I don't know how God settles it all in the end. But I'm going to tell you, some of the people in this life maybe they didn't have much as far as worldly wealth and riches. But over in eternity, God's going to be taking care of them. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. When we give to the Lord, whatever it might be, we've got to realize we're only giving something. We're giving Him something that He's blessed us with. In the first place, He was the one that gave it to us. King David prayed in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11. He said, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is Thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of Thee, and Thou reignest over all, and in Thine hand is power and might, and in Thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank Thee and praise Thy glorious name. But who am I? But who am I, he says, and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of Thee, and of Thine own have we given Thee." He says, who am I to give when everything came from You, Lord, in the very beginning? And when I give, I'm giving You back Your own. I'm just giving You back what You've given to me. God gives to us, and we in turn give back to Him and to others. And Jesus said in Matthew 6:19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." If we really want to find out where our heart is, if we really want to see what's important to us and where our priorities are, then just look at the bank statement. Just check out how much has been invested in the bank of heaven versus the bank of this world. It's more blessed to give than to receive, because giving is an act of faith. Giving's an act of faith. I appreciate the wisdom of Bishop. You don't know how much of a blessing it is to pastor along with Bishop and to have his wisdom and investment of many, many years. This is their 40th anniversary of being in ministry here at this church. Good to see Sister Eddings tonight. One thing Bishop says is, he says, I can take two things and tell you how people are doing spiritually, for the most part. Look at their attendance to church. And where's their heart? Where's their giving? That's pretty telling. I appreciate that kind of wisdom. Amen? If we really want to see what's important to us, just look at that bank statement. Giving's an act of faith. Tithing is an act of faith. Giving offerings, it's an act of faith. Hebrews 11:6, of course, says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please Him." Now, we don't give more so that we can get more. But we give as an act of faith, showing where our faith lies. If we give only to heap rewards on ourselves and to not be a blessing to others, then we don't have the right motives, and our plans are going to fall short. R.G. Letourneau was an inventor, and he was a businessman. Letourneau, he supplied 70%
of the earth-moving equipment and engineering vehicles used by the Allied forces during World War II. Over the course of his life, he secured nearly 300 patents related to his equipment and machine tools. He was also a philanthropist, president of the Christian Business Men's Committee, and president of the Gideon's International. He was one of the very successful businessmen who set aside 90% of his salary and company profits for God, living on only the other 10%. R.G. Letourneau used to say, if you give because it pays, it won't pay. If you give because it pays, it won't pay. And he ought to know. Matthew 6:33 declares, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Yes, there's rewards for those of us here on this earth who are faithful to God, but I'm thankful for rewards that are going to be coming in heaven, rewards that will last for eternity. Rewards that can't be stolen away from our lives. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Sometimes we get to looking around and we wonder, does anybody notice? Does anybody see my faithfulness? Does anybody check out who's doing good and who is doing bad? Because sometimes it seems like those doing evil are the ones being rewarded in this life. And those who are faithful, those who are consistently doing good, maybe it's behind the scenes where nobody notices, but it seems like they're the ones struggling in this life. 1 Corinthians 4 and 5 tells us, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. If we are faithful, if we are true to God's will in our lives, then we will receive a crown of glory, and we'll have rewards that will last for eternity. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you the key to a joyful life now and the key to a blessed life in the future of heaven is faithfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. There's many who are considered successful here on the earth. They're rich. They're rich here. They've arrived as far as earthly standards. But many who may be classified as unfaithful when they leave this life and stand before judgment because they never learned it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. They never learned the joy of giving. They never got their priorities right. They accomplished so much in this life, but so little in the next. So many times when we look at scriptural principles like this, we think only of money. But the principle works whether it's money or just about anything else in life. Luke 6:38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So how we measure it out, it will be measured back to us. If we give sparingly, it will be measured to us sparingly. If we give liberally, it will be measured to us liberally. And this works in so many areas of life. Do you remember the widow woman? The widow woman in 1 Kings chapter 17, there's a famine in the land and there's been no rain and there's no crops, and Elijah had been sustained by the ravens there by the brook, but God allowed the brook to dry up, and so the Lord sends Elijah to Zarephath where he finds a widow woman gathering sticks. He asked her for some water to drink and he asked for a little something to eat, and in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 12, she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. She didn't have a cake to give. She only had a handful of meal in a barrel, just a little oil left. She was gathering sticks to make their last meal, and then that was it.
1 Kings 17:13. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make thee for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. There are some times that it feels like we have given until we can't give anymore. We're tired, we're wore out, we're in a famine, we're in a dry spell, we don't have anything else left, we don't have any joy, can I get a witness? We don't have any peace. We're trying to help others, but we need help ourselves. There's a scriptural principle that we're looking at here tonight, a paradox that doesn't make sense to the natural mind. The world thinks this is crazy. But do we believe God and His Word or not? Remember Luke 6:38, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Sometimes we've got to determine that we're going to live by faith. And so even though we may not have joy at this moment, we're going to find someone that we can bring a little joy to them. Even though we don't have strength ourselves and we're tired, but in the midst of our weariness, we're going to be a servant to someone else anyway. We may not have peace in our own life, and we may be desperately needing peace, but I'm going to find somebody else that needs peace, and I'm going to speak a word of encouragement to them. I'm going to give what I don't even have myself. It doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense, but somehow God gives us a little more strength. Somehow God gives us a little more peace. He gives us a little more joy. Oh, He gives us a little more help. Come on, what is it you don't have tonight? What is it that you are lacking tonight? What is it you need from God that you're so desperate for tonight? I want to challenge you, start the cycle of giving. You start the cycle of giving by faith. By faith, I'm going to give. Even if I don't have it, even if it's by faith, I'm going to stand on the word of God and see what happens. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's good preaching, folks. Would you stand with me in closing tonight? What a paradox. What a contradiction. But it's so true. As we learn to grow in Christ, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. See, we're living in a world that rejects God. They reject everything to do with God, everything to do with His Word. But in the midst of this world, we must be faithful. The more that we give of ourselves, of our time, of our talents, of our treasure, the more we give, the more we will receive for now and for eternity. It truly is more blessed to give than it is to receive. God's calling us higher. God's calling us to a mature place of living for Him. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:11, he said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Just go tell a child this paradox. Maybe somewhere right around Christmas time. More blessed to give than receive? Yeah, right. I want some toys. But we're called higher today. We're called to mature in Christ, to put away childish things, to grow and to develop in the kingdom of God, and to learn that it truly is more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus said to write to His church in the city of Smyrna in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, "I know thy works in tribulation and poverty." Look at those parentheses. "But thou art rich." In other words, I know your suffering. I see your poverty. I know about your affliction. I see what you're going through. I see that tribulation. But you are rich. You are rich. Who is it tonight that you've been so focused on all that is wrong with your life that you've forgotten what is right? Come on, let me say that again. Who is it tonight you've been so focused on everything that's wrong with life that you've forgotten with all that is right? Oh, all you can see lately is the negative, but God wants to open your eyes to the positive, to the great gifts that we do have, to the riches that we are blessed with. Oh, it seems like a contradiction, but if we can catch the meaning of this paradox tonight, it'll take our faith to another level. It'll help us to grow deeper in Christ. And we'll grow into the blessings of being a mature child of God. Praise the Lord. I want you to put the negative out of your mind for a moment. Come on, I want you to put the doctor and all the bills and all the problems and situations. I want you to put those things out of your mind right now. I want you to think about the goodness of God. He's been good to you. He's been good to your family. He's been so good to me. He has blessed our life. He's given us more than we could ever deserve. I'm thankful for the air that I get to breathe. I'm thankful for the sun that's going to shine in the morning. I'm thankful that tonight, if it's not cloudy, we can walk out and see those stars that He placed in the heavens. I'm thankful for His goodness. I'm thankful for the family of God. Come on, folks, we are blessed here tonight. Put the negative out of your mind and start thanking the Lord for His blessings. God has been so good to us. I praise you, Lord. I worship you, God. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy and your love. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Lord, you've been so very good to us. We owe everything to you, Lord. I worship your name. I praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Amen, amen. And as good as the blessings of God are to every one of us, I want to tell you it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I want you to ask God right now, God, how can I give something? How can I give a little bit of joy to somebody? How can I give a little encouragement to someone? How can I do something to lift someone else up, to give them some strength and some help? Maybe how can I give to the kingdom of God financially? But ask the Lord right now, God, how can I give? Come on, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts right now. I pray that you will place a burden upon every one of our lives. Lord, I'm going to stand upon this principle. I'm going to stand upon this paradox in the Word of God that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help me to find a way to give. I pray that you will lay some need upon my heart, lay some soul upon my heart, and God, help me to give to be a blessing to others. Let me be a channel. God, let me be a channel that your blessings can flow through. I pray, God, that you would speak to every one of us in this house. Help us, God. Help us, Lord, to catch this principle. Help us to catch this paradox so that we can be a channel that your blessings flow through and we can grow into a mature Christian and be everything that you want us to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I know it's time to close, but I just wonder if anybody needs a refilling of the gift of the Holy Ghost. I feel like God wants us to be full of the Holy Ghost tonight. Come on, all across this house, I wonder if you just lift your hands and believe that God is going to fill you to overflowing with His Spirit right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I pray that you would cleanse my heart. I pray that you would cleanse my mind. I pray, Lord, forgive me of everything I've ever done that was wrong. Lord, and I pray that you would refill me or you would fill me for the first time with the gift of your Spirit, Lord. I pray that you would let the power of the Holy Ghost sweep through this house, that gift, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you would let it fill every life. Lord, I pray that you would move and minister right now. Come on, let the Holy Ghost do a work in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Come on, let the Holy Ghost speak through you. Come on, let God's Spirit speak through you right now. In Jesus' name. Come on, speak it with boldness. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for that gift. Thank you, Lord, for that gift. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for that gift of your Spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.